So if you are just joining us, we are continuing our series on 1 Corinthians 13, which is part of our larger series on family, one of our core values here. And this just seemed to fit really well, this passage of Scripture, because we want to love well. If we're going to do relationships better and do relationships well, we want to love well, and it's just the whole law is summed up in this. So we thought, well, I think one of the struggles that we have as Christ followers is sometimes we define love differently than the Bible defines love. And so that's our exercise for the last few weeks and probably another few weeks going forward is Paul in 1 Corinthians does this beautiful job of just laying out what agape love looks like. We took a couple weeks and kind of talked about the four different loves or whatever. And so we're landing on agape love, this God love, this perfect love, this sacrificial love. And what he's going through here is all these character traits of what love is and isn't. And what he's saying is you can't say that you're loving someone or being loving and then do these things or not do these things. It has to look, you can't just, it's not just like a smorgasbord, you know. What was that? We were just talking about it the other day. Bonanza. Anyone ever been to Bonanza? All right, all of you older people. I don't think there's many of those left, but back football trips and all that kind of stuff, and our family would go there with mom and dad and get a sirloin steak, and then that buffet that just went for forever, especially when you were younger. Who's hungry for Bonanza now? Oh, man, that was good. But it's not like that. You don't get to just take a little bit of what you want, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then call it what you want. You can't just call it love. So if we're going to say that we're loving, it's not just that, oh, I kind of care about you or I like you a lot or whatever. That's not biblical love. That's one kind of love, but it's not agape love. And so we're really getting in the weeds here. And if you haven't gotten your toes stepped on, I'm sorry that you've been sleeping as I've been preaching, because this is hard stuff. And anybody that just kind of just says, oh, you just don't talk about love, you haven't really looked at what biblical love really is, because it is impossible for you to do physically. It takes a supernatural power of God. And so we looked at love as patient, love as kind. Last week, we looked at it does not envy. Oh, my goodness. If you didn't walk out of here with a few bruises last week, then this is tough stuff, but it's God stuff. You see, what happens is my fleshly nature and the supernatural power of God conflict head on when we get into some of this stuff. And that's why Paul was saying, he's like, you guys are trying to be godly. This is written to the Corinthian church. You're trying to be godly, but your character isn't matching your enthusiasm. Just let that soak in for a second. As Christ followers, we want to be enthusiastic, but we also want our character, say my character, we want our character to match our enthusiasm. We want to be passionate about God, but we want to have the character of Christ while we're doing it. Now, are we allowed room for growth? Absolutely. We're moving towards perfection, as the Bible tells us, maturity, full growth, but we're all growing. So some days you just have to put up with each other because we're not quite perfect yet, are we? And won't be until Jesus comes back. But yet that doesn't mean that we're staying there, right? We're pressing on, we're pressing in, we're becoming more like Christ. So that's what we're going through. And envy says, wow, it's a jealousy over the blessings and achievement of others. It's a resentful, dissatisfied longing for another's possessions, position, fortune, achievements, or success. We're just going to go through this real quick because it's just review. It gets better after this. Trust me. Envy's a rugged one. And what Paul is just saying is love has a flavor, a characteristic, a feel. And he's describing it for us. It acts and feels and behaves a certain way. And envy is just the opposite of that. Love is focusing on you and putting you first and sacrificing to you. Envy is just, it's a prison. It's a prison. It captivates our hearts with things that don't belong to us. Envy is a desire for something with the resentment that another is enjoying it and you are not. Oh, like, you see what I'm saying? Like, if you're awake and at all paying attention, if this does not bother you at least a little bit, then you are either way more holy than I am or you just don't care. Don't tell me which one it is. It's a desire for something, but it's not just that. It's not just my desire that you've got a new car and I don't, and or it's not just a desire that you've got whatever, you know, I fill in the blank. But it's also that I resent you that you have it and I don't have it. You want to talk about ugliness? And we just think about envy. We're like, oh yeah, we shouldn't want other people's stuff, but I've got these other big sins I'm dealing with. Hey, this thing is vicious. And what we learned last time, which we're not talking about today, we went through five scriptural examples where the beginning of envy, the end is death. Someone dies. Envy opens your heart to a spirit of murder. We see that scripturally over and over and over again. And it opens to, it starts out with, oh, they have that and I don't. And then it is a short walk to, I should have that. And it's one more step to, they should die because they have that and I don't. Go look for it for yourself in Scripture, and you'll find it in Abel, you'll find it in Joseph, you'll find it in David, you'll find it in Jesus. And then we see that we find it even in James, we're going to read in just a second. This is a guy by the name of Scott Sauls. He said, when envy is at work, all right, when envy is stirring in our hearts, we're comforted when we hear that somebody else is struggling or that they failed. Now, I know you guys may have never experienced this before, but if you ever get a slight warming, gentle, what are those fragrance things that they have the little heat thing on them, and they just, in commercials, they just gently warm and fill the atmosphere with fragrant flowery smells or whatever, potpourri pot. When your heart begins to feel like a potpourri pot, and the thing that's cut, right, and it's being gently warmed when you hear the news that someone that you may dislike or that you're envious of, that they failed or that their thing came crashing down, if that warms your heart a little bit, guys, that's the doorway to murder. Like, I know that seems extreme, but it's all over in Scripture that when our hearts get opened up to that, it's that same spirit that would want to kill someone. And I'm not saying that everyone that envies kills someone. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's that same insidious evil that is a short step. Conversely, we feel disturbed when we hear that someone else is enjoying success or has received an award or a raise or the smallest bit of recognition or some other positive reward. We see in James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, what causes quarrels and fights among you? I don't know. Tell us, James. Well, don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and what? Kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. That's New Testament, folks. If that is not a descriptor of an envious heart, I don't know what is. It is ugly. It's not just, oh man, they got nice stuff. I wish I could. Like, that's how it starts. And it just, there's no gentle slope to envy. There's no like, oh, I really kind of, like, it just, it's a cliff. And once you go off that cliff, your heart becomes bitter and you start being filled with all kinds of nastiness. Turn the corner on this one a little bit. We're just about done with envy. A couple more verses. And then I got some quotes that I didn't get to last time. Love will experience joy at the good fortune of another person. There's a Bible verse for this. It says, we rejoice with those who, you guys don't know that one. We rejoice with those who rejoice. If someone else is rejoicing, I can enter into that rejoicing. I don't have to be bitter or upset. Love will experience joy at the good fortune of another person. Love refuses to live someone else's life. That's the summation of envy. Envy is trying to live someone else's life. Love is satisfied with the lot that God has given it and trusts that God is good enough to get you through and provide for whatever you need. See, it's really a lack of trust. All right? Here's a couple quotes I didn't get to. These are from, what's her name? Elizabeth Elliot. Yeah, that's right. The wife of Jim Elliot, famous missionary who was martyred. I'm going to read this slow. Look at this. If I imagine that I love my neighbor, okay, do you guys imagine that you love your neighbor? Love your neighbor as yourself. You've got a little thing inside your head that's like, yeah, I think I do that. All right. If I imagine that I love my neighbor, let me test my love by asking how glad I am that he has achieved what I've failed to achieve. Ooh. That he has managed to acquire what I have long wished to acquire, and that he is loved by someone or by many or in some way that has never been granted to me. Let me test that love. We are never about guilt and shame here, but we're about the Word of God. And if this doesn't challenge your heart a little bit, if you're not feeling like, oh, goodness, we're all in the same boat here. We're all growing, right? We're all growing. We're not getting stuck here. So if this is resonating in you and you're like, I'm a terrible person, Jesus, we're all having that same gut reaction right now. So in order for us to grow and mature, because that's what it's about, right? Amen? Yes? Amen? She goes on. She's not done yet. Do I rejoice because my neighbor has reasons to rejoice that have been denied me? Can I honestly praise God for his goodness to my neighbor? Wow. She doesn't hold back here. Can I praise him wholeheartedly for his gifts to me? If I love my neighbor as myself, there will be no reason at all for me to feel the least twinge of jealousy, because I'll be just as happy that he has what I wanted as I would be as if I had it. If I really love my neighbor as myself, if he's blessed or she's blessed, then am I not happy for them because I'm loving them as myself? Just going to let that hang there, and we're going to move on before we have blood spilled. Journey Green gave me this quote. I don't know where it's from, but we're quoting her because she sent it to me. Envy causes you to resent God's goodness in other people's lives and ignore God's goodness in your life. Wow. How many times have we gotten blessing after blessing? God showed up for us. He's intervened for us. We've prayed and God answered prayers. We've had children that were in dire need and God came through for them. We've had a sickness in our household and God healed us. We've had just terrible situations where we're full of anxiety and God came in and brought peace. And then we see someone else has something or a position or stuff that we want. We start being envious of them and we begin to ignore all these blessings that God has put into our life. And we're like, yeah, God, but. And we just, not to be too overdramatic, but we just spit in the face of all the good that God has done. And I get it. He understands that we're human, but yet he also calls us to walk supernaturally. And that's the thing. We're called to walk. Well, Pastor, that's really hard to do. You're right. It's impossible. That's why you have the Holy Spirit in you. And you can't do this on your own. Whew. All right, we're going to hit two today and as fast as we can. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, and it is not proud. Now, I struggled with it. I'm like, so what does that look like? I love you. Man, I'm so awesome. You know, what are they really talking about? And it was hard for me to see how that correlated, but when I was reading through and kind of studying for this, it made a little more sense. Does not boast. Some versions have, it is not rash. And I'll explain that. Boasting or putting oneself forward, and I think King James and a couple other versions say, vaunteth not itself. It does not put itself forward is really literally what it's trying to say. Or there's some commentators, and the word can also mean is why. The word can also mean being in a rash judgment. Now, we're not going to actually talk about that one at all. We're going to talk about the other one. But just so, because I love that definition, because it's the opposite of love. Love cares about you. Love is concerned for you. Love puts you first. Has anyone ever been misjudged in a situation that someone came in and they're like, and they just kind of sized it up and you're like, you have no idea. You ever have ever been working on a project at work or at school, or the boss or the teacher comes right in and they're like, no, it needs to be this way. And yet you started out doing it that way and because of reasons that they don't know about, like we have to do it this way. Do you know what I mean? And it's just frustrating, isn't it? Are you feeling loved at that moment? Someone walks in or they just meet you, or maybe they know you from long ago or whatever, and you've changed, but they immediately put the old you over on top of the new you. And they haven't seen you for a long time. Oh, yeah, well, I knew you'd do that. You always do it. You've always been like that. Nobody? That's rash judgment. And love is not that way. So we're not going to talk about that definition of it. Most of the commentators lean towards the first version of it. But that word in the Greek can also mean being rash. And that's why some of your versions will say love is not rash, because that's what it means. It doesn't just jump to conclusions. Love doesn't just say, I know. No, that's not love. And we'll talk about more about that later, a different Sunday. But it's boasting or putting oneself forward. Love doesn't do that. Come on, there we go. Here's some definitions. It is not self, that makes me smile just saying that. It's not self-admiring. Oh my, look at me. I'm so wonderful, right? The spirit of love, agape love, is not that. So if as you are serving and giving and loving people, I'm so wonderful for doing this for you. It maybe is just in your head or in your heart. But if that's what's cropping up, like that's the antithesis of love. That is not what it is. So this is what boasting is. It does not put itself forward. It doesn't set itself forward. It doesn't desire to be noticed or applauded. Well, I'm sure none of us do. I mean, we don't need applause, do we? Or we all crave it all the time. You see, we're built with, how do I say this? We're built with a God-given desire, God-given, healthy and holy desire for appreciation. But when that is not sanctified, we lust for applause. God gives us the desire in our hearts to want to be appreciated. We want, and that's okay. We thank God for the gifts that He gives us, right? True? He doesn't need thanks, but we need to do it. And so in the body of Christ, we're meant to appreciate one another. And that is satisfying that desire. But yet, as sanctified people, we're meant to have the character of God where we don't need that. Because Jesus is filling that need. So it doesn't desire to be noticed or applauded, but it wishes that God may be all in all. And these are definitions that I've taken from different places. It has the notion, this boasting here that love doesn't do, it has the notion of boasting or vaunting. That's a word that we don't really use in today's English, but putting forward one's own excellencies or endowments. Like your gifts, your things that you do well, it's kind of putting those forward. You ever been in, don't raise your hands, just smile knowingly at me. You ever been in a relationship where someone just says, always kind of just, they let everybody know how good they are at so many different things. And it's just like, you want to talk about whatever, and they just, I just did that to Courtney. I just was like, oh, it's so good to see you. Let me tell you about me. And then I apologized. I was just excited. But it's so true. It's so easy to do that. And we kind of fall into that. This spirit proceeds from the idea. See, now this part was not true of me. This spirit proceeds from the idea of superiority over the others. And it's connected with a feeling of contempt or disregard for them. That has nothing to do with love. Love honors you above me. Love puts you first. Boasting says, oh, here's you. Let me put me right in front of that. And so it's not so much just about, oh, the other day I got a new truck or whatever. Like, if we're in relationship with people and we're really loving people, we want to know what's going on in their lives. So it's not just that. It's the spirit behind it is what it's talking about. It's this idea that I'm more important than you. My stuff is more important than your stuff. What's going on in my life is more important than what's going on in your life. Now, I'm sure that we've never had a conversation other than Courtney and I where you just kind of dominate the conversation and someone's like, oh, how are you doing? Great. Or maybe better yet, you ask how they're doing and then you proceed to tell them everything that's going on in your life. Oh, how awesome you are and how bad things are so they can feel sorry for you, right? That would be terrible. But it's a good thing that none of us would ever do that. Albert Barnes says this, the boaster is not a man who does good. To boast of talents is not to employ them to the advantage of others. It will be this is kind of older English, but just follow along. I like what he's saying. He's kind of putting a little jab in there. He says, it will be of no account in feeding the hungry, talking about boasting. Boasting will be of no account in feeding the hungry, in clothing the naked, in comforting the sick and afflicted, or in saving the world. Accordingly, the man who does the most good is the one who's least accustomed to boast. If you want to see who's really oftentimes the one who's doing most good in the lives of other people are the ones you hear the least about from their own lips. The man who boasts may be regarded as doing nothing else. He's so busy at telling you about his stuff that the good that he's doing doesn't really amount to anything. I love that. That's a challenging quote. Proverbs 27:2 says this, "Let another praise you." And this is, what do we find in Proverbs? We find wisdom, right? And this is wisdom here, guys. "Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips." And see, the writer of these nuggets of wisdom, I'm not sure if this was Solomon or not, but is going, you know what? If you are concentrating on singing your own praises, you're going to be focused on you. And you're going to miss what's going on around you, and that's not how you want to be walking around. Are we starting to connect what boasting is? It's more than just saying, oh, I did this. That's not really what it's talking about. It's talking about the attitude and the spirit behind it that wants to focus inwards and wants to put me out front for all to see, and then calling that love. Now, if you want to just do that, then great, do that. But don't call it love. And that's what Paul was confronting here. He's saying, that's not love. If you want to be boastful, go ahead, be a bonehead, sin all you want, you know, whatever, I guess, humanity. But you can't call it love. You can't say that you're following Christ and having the actions of Christ when you're pushing yourself in front of other people to see. And that has nothing to do with public visibility. It has everything to do with attitude and spirit. Oh, look at them. They always got the microphone or what. That's not what it's talking about at all. It's talking about internal. See, Jesus is always talking about the heart. It's always about what's going on inside of us. And boasting, that's an internal thing that gets worked out of the mouth. So let someone else praise you. If the thing that you did is awesome, like unless we're talking about family and best friends and something and you're doing it with the right spirit, big deal if someone knows you did it or not. Like if you did it for the right reason, then it doesn't matter if people know. You got real quiet now. You've been real quiet the whole time. Next slide. It doesn't get any better. I don't know why you want to go to skip. Behind the boastful bragging, there lies conceit. Told you didn't get any better. Can we go back to the other slide? An overestimation of one's own importance, abilities, or achievements. Oh, wow. We're great at overestimating other people's failures and incompetence. And we're also great at overestimating how great we are. And guys, that's just flesh. All of you who are pretending to sit here this morning, like, yep, that's not talking about me. Yeah, you know what? It's all of us. We all have this fallen nature that we've got to war against daily because it doesn't reflect Jesus. It reflects what caused it to fall, sin. That's what it reflects. Behind this bragging and boasting is conceit, we overestimate, we think it's better than it really is. Our own importance, our own abilities, our own achievements. Yeah, yikes. This one, I just threw this one in. There's another word, this, whatever it is, preparos. It's a related word. It's not the exact same word, but it's very similar, and they're often used together or interchangeably. And it describes someone who is a talkative exaggerator, constantly asserting himself, having an obsession with criticizing and wounding others with aggressive words. So that's what this idea that's kind of behind this boasting is, that I don't care about your feelings. I don't care. All I want is a reaction from you to tell me how great I am. Do you see what it's saying? All I'm really concerned about when I'm boasting, when I'm telling you facts and it's in love, I'm hoping that our relationship is great and we can rejoice together with that, you know. when I'm boasting, all I really care, I don't care about anything other than you patting me on the back, or as we'll see, it even gets a little worse than that. This right here. Envy, we talked about envy last time. Envy is wanting what someone else has. Bragging and boasting is trying to make someone else jealous of what we have. Let me say that again. I'm not sure if you got that. When I'm envious, I want what you've got, and I'm mad that you've got it. When I'm boasting, it's the flip side of envy. It's the same thing. It's the flip side. I want to say something, not just so that you pat me on the back. I want you to be jealous of what I've got when I boast. I want you to be in so much admiration that it stirs your heart to be, I wish I had that. I wish I could do that. I wish I could be like that. I wish I had that kind of whatever. That's insidious. That makes boasting look a lot more ugly than we've previously thought it was. I don't really know a lot about this lady. All I know is it hurts to read her stuff. Okay? And I had to throw a couple of these in because these were so good. Nancy Leigh DeMoss, she has a Christian show. Sometimes it's even in what we don't say that a boastful or bragging heart can be revealed. What about, now maybe this has never happened to you, but what about when we accept credit for things that we don't deserve credit for, that we don't deserve credit for, or when we leave a better impression of ourselves with others than what's honestly true? Oh man, you guys are always doing, oh, that's so great. And you, like, you did it once, and now they're just going on and on. How, like, you helped Jimmy down the street. Oh, you guys are always helping Jimmy, man, you're such great friends, whatever. And it was really only once. And yet you don't speak up. Like, what she's saying is that's that same dark kind of boastful heart, because it's putting me forward. Even though you're not the one, you're just standing there nodding your head. You're not actively participating. How terrible is that? Well, just when we thought it was so bad, she comes in and tells us that we don't even have to participate in order for us to have boasting in our heart. I'm pretty much not happy with her. She says this: if someone says something about us that's negative and we didn't do it, we're quick to defend ourselves, right? But what if somebody says that we did something good and we're not the one who did it? We're not the one that deserves the credit. Are we so quick to defend ourselves? Oh, no, that I didn't do that. I hope we do, but I know us better than that. Love does not seek to win admiration and applause. It's not puffed up. It's not conceited. The man who has high conceit of himself is apt to be boastful and desirous of praise. Love, on the other hand, is modest and humble. Modest because it's humble. Yeah. Love produces a state of mind just the opposite, and that's what I was trying to say earlier. This heart that wants to put me forward, it's the opposite of love. It's opposite of a disposition to boast. It receives its endowments or its blessings with gratitude. It regards them as the gift of God and is disposed to employ them not in vain boasting, but in purposes of utility. Again, you can tell this is an older quote. But in doing good to all others on as wide a scale as possible. I'm not doing this so that I've got something to boast about. I'm not serving you so that I can just put it on Facebook. I'm not talking, we talked about this in youth one Wednesday night, you know? Like, why are we doing the good things that we're doing? It challenges our motives. And Paul is saying, you know what? Love is not this always putting myself forward. It's the opposite of that. Boastful, conceited, vainglorious people display a contempt, disregard, and scornfulness towards others. Yeah, it just gets uglier as we go here. We're just about done with boasting here. By contrast, those who choose biblical love treat others with concern, respect, and positive regard. Instead, they esteem others better than themselves. I got hung up on that word concern last night or this morning when I was reading through this. As soon as I start boasting, as soon as I engage in boasting in my heart and with my mouth, guess what disappears? Concern disappears. I no longer am concerned with you. I'm no longer concerned with how your week is going. I'm no longer concerned with how you're doing with Jesus. I'm no longer concerned about your kids. I'm no longer concerned about your life, your health, your well-being. I'm not concerned about you because my boasting has taken over. Who am I concerned about now? Me. That is the right answer. I'm now concerned with me. And the very definition of love says it's concerned about you. You see why this is difficult. Love is impossible. Second part of that, love is not proud. It's not puffed up. Some versions have puffed up. Love doesn't have an inflated view of itself. Ooh, that's good. Love doesn't see itself as greater than it really is. It doesn't think of itself as more than it really is. And you can see that these two are really closely related here. This next quote from Nancy says that bragging is pride, but it's pride coming out the mouth. So love is not boastful, it's not proud. Those are the two words that we're looking at, boastful and proud. So the boasting is really just the expression of the pride that's already in my heart. Bragging is the verbalization of pride, but arrogance, this puffed up spirit, it's the attitude of a proud heart that is overly impressed with itself. I hope this series ends soon because these are difficult things to hear every Sunday, and I hope that you are leaving these meetings challenged, disgusted, and hopeful that Jesus Christ, there's the only reason that we are presenting this is so that we can invite Jesus to come and identify those areas in our hearts that might need some tweaking. Amen? We're not just stepping on toes like, oh, we can preach hard. We're doing this so we can uncover things that would otherwise remain hidden. And I might not even know about them. And I'm finding out that when I'm boasting, I've just cut off love because I'm no longer concerned about you. I don't want to do that because honestly, a lot of us have good intentions and good hearts. We really love people and we want to biblically love people. So when I'm loving Greg and all of a sudden this boasting takes over, I might feel the feeling that I have is still a good feeling. I still feel like I'm loving you, but what has taken over is not love. Because now, by default, not by choice, but by default, because I'm now boasting and it's now all of a sudden I've engaged this sinful part of my heart that doesn't really feel like sin. I'm just kind of going on and it escalates. But now I'm no longer concerned about Greg anymore. All I'm concerned about is me. Let's applaud me. Let's put me out there. Not that we can't be excited about what we're doing. Don't mishear what Paul is saying. What he's saying is, we want to operate in real love, and real love isn't boastful because that just it just is an expression of our proud hearts. Come on, clicker. You can do it. No? How about again? There we go. Arrogance builds me up. Love builds you up. So how do we know if we're proud or if we're boasting? In our interactions, who's being encouraged and built up? Hopefully it's reciprocal, and we both are, but the focus at the moment, if I say that I'm loving you, am I building you up, or am I building me up? Like bullfrogs, conceited people often put that puff themselves up just before they croak. What do we see in nature? Peacocks and bullfrogs and pufferfish and it's not that they're arrogant. There's a purpose for their puffing. It's to make themselves look bigger, more impressive, isn't it? It's either to attract a mate or to defend themselves, right? What purpose does that have in love? It has no purpose. Me building myself up when love is focused on you. So it's bizarre. And so that's what Paul is just trying to get across is, it's not boastful and it's not proud. We'll end with this one. Real love will flow from us when we allow God to be, when we allow God to be the one to impress us. Man, I don't want to rush past that. Real love will flow from us. Let me just take that section of this. Real love comes out of us when we allow God to be the one to impress us. Come on. Stop being so impressed with yourself. Right? Like, I'm just like preaching to the choir here. Like, let's let God be the one who amazes us. Let's let God be the one who captures our gaze. Let's, like we talked about this morning, let's be wide-eyed and just on the edge of our seat about God and about what the Holy Spirit's doing and about what Jesus has done and is continuing to do, and not about us. Let's let God impress us with his greatness. When we realize that he is God and we are not, then we will have love coming in and flowing out of us. Amen.